everyone, and welcome to the new episode of podcast Passport to Your Cybersecurity Career. I am your host, Jalpa Bausar. I am a cybersecurity professional, a speaker, and a mentor. And I invite cybersecurity professionals around the globe to share their success stories with their current career journeys and how they broke into cybersecurity that could help someone else going through that journey right now. So my guest today is Holly Wright. She is a software architect in the IBM Security AI Center of Competency team. Holly has expertise across many domains in security with deep technical knowledge in network detection and response, fraud detection, analytics platform, and applications of machine learning in security. Holly has also won Best Female Security Coder at the 2022 Australian Women in Cybersecurity Awards. Holly is based out of IBM Gold Coast Development Lab in Australia, but has shared her knowledge globally, presenting at numerous conferences, and has many patents in her name. Holly is passionate about encouraging people into STEM and is part of many university and school mentoring initiatives. That is impressive. Thank you for being here, Holly. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Very excited to chat to you today.
Awesome. So before we get started, I do want to share a fun fact about you. And this really got me excited because I used to ride motorbikes when I was in uni too, but you have just taken it to another level. So you do adventure riding where you pack all your camping gear onto your bike and travel around finding difficult tracks used to get to your destination. So from what you have told me, you have ridden your bike in Sri Lanka, Europe, and all over Australia. Tell me about that.
Yeah, no, that's it's a little bit of a fun fact. I feel like it's not super common to come across female cybersecurity professionals who ride motorbikes. So I thought that would be a fun little tidbit to share with people. it's challenging. I think it's a cool way to get around the country and really be part of, when you're traveling, you know, you're part of the environment. And you know, it's challenging mentally, it's challenging physically, and it's a great hobby, I think.
That's awesome. I agree. It's a great hobby and it takes a lot of courage to do that as well. And do you ride alone or do you ride in a group?
Yeah, usually there'll be multiple people riding. So we've all got our own bikes and our own setup. But that's part of the, you know, that's actually the best part, is having other people. So when you get to the end of the day, you'll sit around and say, oh, how amazing was that? Or how scary was that? Or just reflect on the day, and that's definitely one of the best parts of it.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that fun fact with us. That's awesome. So let's dive into our episode today. I'm going to start with the first question for you right from where you started. So tell us about, what did you study? Like, what's your educational background? And what did you have in mind at the time? What career were you thinking you want to have?
Yeah. So cybersecurity was completely an accident for me. When I was in high school, I'd watch some documentaries. I actually saw that some people had teleported a molecule from one island to another. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. Imagine if I could be part of an industry that's, you know, has the potential to help a lot of people and make a difference to, you know, the world on a global scale. And I'd done all the maths and science subjects at school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I think when people think about helping people, a lot of the times their minds will go to, I'll be a doctor or a nurse or something like that. And yeah. So engineering wasn't really on my radar until, you know, actually what happened was I didn't get into medicine. I tried to go for that. That was my first preference. I didn't get into it. And engineering was my second preference, given sort of my, you know, science and maths background. And I think that was the best accident that happened to me. That was sort of step one. And that got me into a Bachelor of Engineering at the University of Queensland in Brisbane. And from there, I didn't even really know what an engineer did. I started going, I think most people think of people who build bridges and roads when they think of engineers. And so that's where my mind went when I first started engineering as well. And I just happened to come across some people who were studying or who were planning to major in mechatronics. And mechatronics is kind of a combination of a lot of engineering disciplines, but it's really heavily focused around like robotics and control systems. So using a bit of mechanical skills, a bit of electrical, a bit of coding to build sort of holistic systems. And so I thought, you know, talking to these people, I thought, oh, well, that actually sounds really cool. I'd like to learn a bit of everything. And, you know, robotics is kind of a bit more hands-on than some of the other subjects at university. So I, again, just happened to come across that as a pathway. And so as part of my mechatronic major, I did a lot of work with building robots. I did some work in computer vision. So that was kind of my first exposure to machine learning was, you know, building robots that could find out where your hand was and then draw, you know, a smiley face on your hand as you're moving it around. So not super useful, but still good challenge all the same. So built, did a few robotics projects, and my thesis was in drones. And so again, another sort of machine learning application there, where I built sort of an algorithm to automatically tune drones, so somebody didn't have to sit there and you know, configure the drone themselves at first startup. And so through all of that, again, nothing to do with cybersecurity so far, right? It's all pretty much robots. I did a little bit of coding throughout that, which was enough to sort of get me my first internship, which was with IBM, and specifically with IBM Security, the development lab that we have on the Gold Coast. And all of my security knowledge has been on the job. It's all been stuff that I've learned along the way.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing, Holly. And I love your, you know, attitude of learning new things and diving from, you know, thinking of medicine and then going into electronics, but also having that higher purpose of trying to help people and also make a difference. That's really amazing. And that there's something common between you and me. I also wanted to get into medicine and I couldn't. Just short of 10 marks. And that's how I got into engineering and then ended up in cybersecurity. So there you go. Yeah. So tell me, when did you think about transitioning to cybersecurity, or did it happen naturally, like organic change? I'm assuming that it wasn't really cybersecurity when that happened. It probably was IT security or InfoSec or whatever it was called.
Yeah. So, I mean, my first internship I did at university was in sort of power and electrical systems. And it was more the fact that, you know, I had that experience. I didn't love that. I didn't feel passionate, I guess, about that industry at the time. And so it was more sort of doing the internship in the cybersecurity industry and actually starting to get a bit of an understanding about, you know, why, I guess the fact that this isn't an area where you can actually help a lot of people, right? You can build something that can then go and protect hundreds of thousands of people around the world if you know, come up with a clever way to stop a cyber attack or mitigate a cyber attack. And so for me, yeah, getting into cybersecurity was really just having that exposure through the internship and then going, you know, I don't know what my career trajectory is from here, but I'm enjoying it at the moment and I'm going to keep learning and keep growing in this field. And so that's really how I ended up where I am.
That's amazing. So were there some particular skills you gained through your studies or internship, or did you prepare for some skills that help you get into cybersecurity?
Yeah, I guess the skills, if I reflect back, I think there's kind of two areas. I think having a different background has actually been quite helpful for me. You know, having that IoT and that robotics background has actually served me in some cases where I could bring a sort of different perspective to the conversation where, you know, I understand a little bit about how IoT systems work and you know, by extension, how a lot of critical infrastructure works. And securing critical infrastructure is obviously a very important and very topical area of discussion at the moment. So having that background in robotics has served me to some degree in understanding what the unique challenges are about robotic applications, what's going to be a likely solution that works from a security standpoint, or, you know, oh, it's going to be impossible to get everybody to patch all of their IoT devices all the time, right? So what else can we do if we're assuming that that's not going to happen? What's the next layer of security we can add? So having that perspective, I think, has helped me think a bit differently to other people who might have just had a classical cybersecurity background. And I think just, I guess that's one thing I want to emphasize, is that you don't have to have had sort of a cybersecurity, formal cybersecurity education to bring value to a cybersecurity discussion. Sometimes it's the very fact that you have a different background that ends up being, you know, the reason why you come up with a new and inventive sort of solution. And then on the other side, I would say, you know, basic engineering was great for the basic sort of programming skills, the problem solving skills, which is very much and baked into everything that you do. That's very, very transferable as the critical thinking and the problem solving skills. But I guess, I think you hear this a lot now, but also communication skills and being able to build relationships with people and communicate technical concepts in a way that doesn't use a lot of security jargon. I think there is a tendency for people who are, you know, real whiz security experts to use a lot of jargon, which makes it very difficult for other people to be included in the conversation, even when the conversation isn't particularly hard to wrap your head around. It's the fact that we, you know, we have a tendency to use words that are not super accessible to the layperson, which makes it hard to have those conversations. So I definitely think, you know, communication skills and presentation skills, that building that up through university and through on the job, that has definitely served me well as well.
That's great. Yeah. And I think I agree with you, like cybersecurity solutions are technical more often than not, but the buy-in we need to get, or the communication that needs to happen with different business leaders or, you know, IT leaders in the organization or outside, they're not always as technical. It's more like just, you know, communication and problem-solving approach that we need to bring in and highlight so that everyone can understand the problem we're trying to solve as well. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. So if someone's trying to go through that journey right now, like I've got a few mentees who reached out last year and who have now got roles in cybersecurity, but it took them a long time. And there's a lot of other people who reach out to get help getting into cybersecurity. So you have done that successfully some years ago. What advice would you give to a cybersecurity aspirant today who's trying to break into cybersecurity?
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's a couple of different ways to go. I think security is a really unique industry because it actually sits across multiple different industries. So, you know, there aren't too many things that span all domains like that. It doesn't really matter whether your background was in, you know, law or finance or technology or even retail, right? Having worked in a store before, those cybersecurity sits across everything that we do today. So it kind of it's an interesting industry because it means that no matter what your background is, you probably can add a cybersecurity element to things that you already know and you're already good at, and that can be your transition into cybersecurity. What is the unique thing that you can bring to the table, you know, having worked in finance before, having been on the other end and knowing what problems you would face in your job day to day? How can you sort of take your past experience, add the layer or the glasses of the cybersecurity context on top of it, and then, you know, position yourself as somebody who can inform and contribute to solving those cybersecurity problems? So I think sort of for people trying to get into the industry, don't underestimate the previous experience that you've had. And that can be a unique differentiator for you, is sort of really leaning into whatever your past experience was and saying, you know, this is how I can bring something new and fresh to the table. And yeah, don't underestimate how important that is. And don't assume that you have to be some like crazy hacker person. I think that's what people think working in cybersecurity is, right? Is being a hacker means that you're therefore qualified to work in cybersecurity. So yeah, really sort of back yourself and know that you don't have to be a hacker to do that. There is a lot of other pathways that aren't just, you know, doing malware analysis or incident response. There are many other roles in security. And then, you know, in terms of more sort of hands-on, I think there are lots of cybersecurity networks and meetup groups. Getting involved with those and just sort of having discussions with people in the industry too, I think is a really good way, a really tangible thing that you can do for free. Just go along to those meetup groups and start having those conversations so you can get a better understanding for how you might fit into the picture and what sort of roles in cybersecurity you would enjoy and you would be good at.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think time and again, the guests on this podcast are sharing that how valuable it is to come from a different background, bringing different ideas and diversity. That's helping us all in cybersecurity as a whole. And, you know, thank you for sharing that. I think the power of transferable skills hasn't been, you know, talked about enough, or it has been talked about, but not shown how it can be used practically or demonstrated during an interview process or even hiring manager tapping into some of those areas. So that's where it leads me to my next question, is that there's so many unfilled jobs in cybersecurity, like 3.5 million as of last year, which has doubled during COVID. So it's just getting worse every single day. Yet there are people trying to get into cybersecurity who are facing a lot of challenges. It's taking 3 to 6 months to fill a role on an average. So what can change on the other sides, like for hiring manager, when they are hiring and going through interview process? Is there something they can do differently to, you know, tap into the transferable skills and the talent pool that's available to fill those unfilled jobs a little bit quicker and not have so many unfilled jobs?
Yeah. I think it's a really important piece of the puzzle, right? Because it's, I think a lot of the conversation does focus on the other side. It's what skills do I need to get into cybersecurity and what else do I need to be doing? And it is difficult for people coming from no experience in cyber to, you know, reach that watermark that are kind of put on those job applications. So yeah. In terms of the hiring side, I think it's really important that as an industry, we adopt a mindset of just giving people a go, you know, that there is that significant skills shortage. And so we have to kind of accept that we are going to have to train people in-house. There aren't the people just ready to go, just sitting there waiting to pick up and hit the ground running. We're going to have to train people in-house to solve cybersecurity problems. And so, you know, maybe it's a thing of, okay, well, instead of, you know, paying a recruiter or paying to do this expensive, lengthy job hunt or candidate hunt, maybe you accept that, okay, we're going to hire someone who doesn't have these skills, but the first thing we're going to do is spend, you know, give them 6 months and pay for some Udemy courses or something to get them upskilled on, you know, AWS or whatever the technology is that you want them to be proficient in. So I think it's a bit of sort of shifting where our investments are, rather than looking for that right person who's ready to go and hit the ground running. We move to the idea that we're going to hire someone and we're going to invest in the training that we want them to have to be ready to you know, fit into our organization and fit into the cybersecurity team. And yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where the emphasis should really be more and more on diversity. And that should be, you know, something that we take into consideration beyond a theoretical concept. because, you know, if we think about the cybersecurity problem, if we think about attacks, they are diverse, right? These attacks are coming, it's a global sort of problem that we're looking at here, and attacks come from people of all different backgrounds and genders and nationalities and languages. And so we need to make sure that our defensive force, our side of the fence is also equally as diverse if we're going to come up with good solutions to these problems.
Absolutely. And I think that the theme that is emerging is that there needs to be a little bit more patience and investing of time and, you know, just in this people's skills to let them develop the skills. So, yeah, I think that that's really important. And having the diversity that is going to help us in a long run, because at the moment, like there was a survey last year by RMIT University that was more focused on gender balance, but it also had a demographic of the current cybersecurity workforce, and it's mostly male, mostly from similar background and thinking similar way as well. So I think it's time we add more diversity to it, so that there is diversity of thought and ideas. And as you mentioned, we can even defend better if we have that diverse set of people defending on our side as well as the attackers are doing. So, you know, thank you for that. So it's been lovely chatting to you, Holly. Are there any last minute thought, any closing remarks from you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just I'd love to see more people getting involved, you know, and I'd love to see you get involved with the meetup groups, get involved with whatever cybersecurity things are happening in your community, even if you're not necessarily considering a job change. You know, you can just come along to find out what it's all about. And that's one way for you to also contribute to the cybersecurity community, is even just coming along and having conversations with maybe the people who are building the tech or the people who are doing the defense, adding your perspective into that conversation. And like I was saying, you know, you'll always hear the super whiz kids like using all these techie terms, but a lot of the cybersecurity concepts are not, there's lots of analogies we can use, lots of examples we can use. And I think a lot of them are quite easy to get your head around if we can kind of frame the conversations in ways that are accessible for everybody. So I think if you are part of the industry, my ask is to, whenever you're talking to somebody, it doesn't matter, you know, who it is, use the most basic language you can use, right? Pretend you're talking to your family members or somebody who's not from a techie background. Because I think that's a really important part of the overall problem, and how we're going to solve this at scale is making everybody feel empowered to contribute to the cybersecurity conversation, not making it feel like you have to be, you know, somehow qualified, you have to meet some sort of bar to, or some sort of hurdle to jump over to contribute to the conversation and have your opinion heard. So I think that's my closing remark.
That's amazing advice, Holly. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I love the enthusiasm and passion, and that reflects in your voice. Thank you so much for coming to this podcast today and sharing your insights and your journey with us. I'm sure that it's going to inspire a lot of our listeners out there. It's invaluable. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And just a call for action for our listeners. Let me know how you found this episode, how you are finding this series so far. And if you have any feedback, or if you want to, you know, star on this podcast, if you want to share your journey, please reach out to me. Thank you.